never heard a weather forecast with so many bitterlies and blusterlies. It's not a good thing. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch Hour. How you doing?
I'm Marianne Murciano with Bob Surratt, who has wrongly predicted the mildest winter in the history of, I don't know, Chicago.
I will have my official statement on that coming up in 1 hour. But right now, Terry Savage, sponsored by Westside Medical Group. Let's get some money talk going. And Terry, 1 o'clock Central Time, we will get the minutes from the Fed's January policy meeting. What are you expecting?
You know, that's pretty. The Fed governors have been out there talking and talking and talking, so that's old news. I don't think we're going to get any surprises. They say they want to raise interest rates, but in the meantime, central banks around the world are cutting interest rates. It's a very interesting tug of war, because if we raise interest rates, all the money in the world is going to come sloshing over here. You know, I just posted a new column, an update on chicken money, and I just give you this one little nugget. If you think low interest rates are bad here, and I detail how low they are if you're trying to keep your money safe, in several European countries, notably Denmark, Sweden, and Switzerland, they already have negative interest rates for bank deposits, and many more have negative interest rates on their government bonds. That is, a negative interest rate means that you would be paying the bank to hold your money to keep it safe. That's what fear of the currency will do to you.
And why would anybody do that? Why not just stuff it underneath your mattress?
Well, because maybe they don't feel so secure in their homes. I mean, they have a lot of money. This is really an issue. With foreign central banks, you know, buying up, printing money, lowering their rates, buying up government bonds, interest rates have been driven lower in Euroland than they are in the United States already. And you're right. People, they can't, you know, the question is, where would you put your money if you were really scared? Gold is now just today back down below $1,200 an ounce. Gold doesn't pay interest has been the old argument against it. But if you're paying negative interest in a bank, and that's what many Europeans are doing, just please, Switzerland, hold my money for me. I don't want to be in euros. I'll pay you if you'll just keep my money for me. That's what depositors are saying over there.
That's just really amazing. And are you saying that it would be a good option for those people compared with negative interest rates to invest in gold and other precious metals?
Well, you raised the question of should they put it under their bed, you know, and that's not a good option no matter where you live. I mean, you're just a victim of crime or fire or whatever it is. And gold, every once in a while, as you see unrest in, and I mean, this is not touting gold. We talked about this a week ago. It's been up, it's been down. It was over $1,300 an ounce 2 weeks ago. It's now about $1,200 an ounce. So it's been very volatile. It's a commodity like all others, trades on inflation fears, but it also trades on, oh my gosh, I want to keep my money safe fears. What's going on in the Ukraine? What's going on, in the Middle East? I think bodes well over the long run for that aspect of gold. But the moment, all the money that's not being hidden away in Switzerland paying negative rates is coming to the U.S. now. So if the Fed manages to get rates up here, more money will come to the U.S. That's a pretty bullish argument for the stock market. So you might be better off in stocks.
I know that at least in some parts of the U.S. and mainly in South Florida, when people in South America are afraid, what they do is they come in and they buy real estate in the U.S.
Sure.
So that's probably not an option that's open to a lot of people, because it's something that you can't just do on the day of. I mean, you really have to do some investigating. But could that possibly happen here?
Well, it's been I don't think that Americans will invest in American real estate as a place to hide, because we've all learned this lesson that real estate prices don't always go up. So we do have now the plus side of low interest rates here is we have very low mortgage rates, so that if you believed that you wanted to be out of holding dollars, and this again is not for seniors who are going, oh my gosh, I need to live on my interest and I'm only getting 1/100% in the bank. This is for people who have a longer term perspective. It's entirely possible that given the kind of debt the U.S. has created, the money they're printing, that real estate bought today in the right place with long term fixed rate financing could be a very good investment. But you see foreigners, you're absolutely correct, Marianne, coming all over. They're the biggest foreign investors. Now they aren't, because you know why? It takes too many euros to buy $1 of real estate. The value of the euro has fallen so much that money's coming in from foreign countries, whether it's New York penthouses for wealthy Russian oligarchs. They're still buying, I'm sure. But for most people, the foreign currencies against the dollar, you have to scrape together too many euros to buy $1 worth of house in Florida.
Yeah, and back to your post at terrysavage.com about chicken money. As Terry has said many times, that's the money you don't want to lose, you can't afford to lose. And what's your motto, Terry? You're not so concerned about the return on your money as you are about the return of your money, right?
Exactly. And I know how difficult this is for people. I mean, I always get the but, I need this to live on. I need this. What's happening to savers, first of all, it's the fault of the Fed. They've kept interest rates low. They may not be able to do that forever, but at the moment, they've kept interest rates artificially low. I've said this many times. It helps to finance the U.S. national debt. The acknowledged debt is now over $18 trillion. We pay over $200 billion a year in interest. If rates jump back to normal levels, that would be a huge hunk out of the federal budget in interest alone. So part of what the Fed's doing is making it easier to finance the debt we keep accumulating. And it helps people get mortgages, and it hurts people who are savers. It's a fact. But you don't want to jump into the stock market now and find out, because we don't know. I hope you're better at forecasting the stock market than the winter temperatures.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm not. So you don't want to risk that. When people say, well, should I take it out of my bank, how much are you willing to lose? Oh, I don't want to lose a penny. Sorry, money.
More with Terry Savage now, brought to you by Westside Mechanical Group. The stock market down a little bit here today, although European stock markets are moving higher. And I guess over there, the word is they're optimistic that Greek issue could soon come to an end. What's your read on that, Terry?
They don't dare kick Greece out because the euro would soar and then Germany couldn't export any more stuff. So they will come, they'll posture, and then they'll extend the deadline. It'd probably be better for Greece to be out of the European Union. They could do whatever they wanted. They would have a lot of problems for a while, and then all of us would be running over there because it would be the cheapest place to vacation. But they'll work something out. And just this is just the excuse for the ups and downs of volatility in the market. They'll figure something out.
Governor Rauner has the budget message out today. Have you had a chance to go over what he is talking about?
Yes. This is called Welcome to Reality. This is what the governor's dealing with a month or so after his election. And after the mayoral election concludes, the new mayor or the existing mayor, Rahm Emanuel, will have to deal with the Chicago public employees' pensions. And this is crunch time. It's crunch time because in the next year, Chicago will have to make a huge contribution. It's crunch time at the state level because now something must be done. Now, if it were just up to the mayor and the governor or the legislature, the city and the city council, you could probably get something done. But most of the things people would like to do have been challenged in court. The premise in all cases being that, hey, you can't change my pension as a state employee. It's a constitutionally guaranteed promise. And so far, but we'll have another ruling soon, the courts have agreed with that. So what the governor seems to have done, and the numbers are huge, is say, all right, we're not going to worry about the promises or the benefits that were granted in the past, but starting July 1st, we are going to change this whole pension formula, create a new one that looks a lot more like corporate pensions. You won't have these rich cost of livings. We'll increase the retirement age. We won't count overtime toward your pension. He wants to end the health insurance subsidy, which is really not theoretically a pension benefit, just a promise, which we know state promises. So that's a big hunk of what the state budget is all about. And the rest of what the state budget is all about is going to be, hey, we have to cut spending.
And doesn't it make sense that we do have to do something drastic?
Oh, it's not cutting around the edges. So he's talking about big hunks in changes of revenue sharing from the state to the city for the RTA. We're talking MIGO numbers here. This wakes you up. The RTA would get a roughly $110 million cut. Half of it would come from the CTA. CTA has an operating budget of about $1 billion. So if you take, you know, 50, 60 million out, I mean, think about, let's take off some of the zeros. If you were asked to take maybe a 5 to 10% paycheck cut, something would have to give. But the fact is, something's got to give because the state, unlike the federal government, cannot print the money.
So you're saying basically that it financially speaking, it's a good plan?
I'm saying financially speaking, there are going to have to be huge spending cuts, and it is going to be painful. The other side of it is there could be huge tax increases. That would not only be equally painful, but it would drive tax-paying businesses and people out of the state of Illinois. So if you can get government spending down and manage somehow to keep people taken care of on the Medicaid rolls, to keep schools taken care of, and he wants to actually increase education spending, if you can, don't we all agree that there ought to be 10% that could be cut out of most budgets? If you just look around, it's painful to think about it in a big sense.
Well,
I
think that all of us share the opinion that if you just poke around in government spending, there is waste. There's some corruption there.
Yeah.
At least 10%. We hear about it all the time.
Exactly. Yet when you say that, you and I will get beat up on for that. But I think in our hearts we all know that. I think we're waiting for the stern father, you know. I mean, every family likes to keep overspending. We'll charge it. We'll worry about it next year. Next year is now, and I think you've gotten the guy who is willing to take it on. This is not a political commentary for me. It's a financial one. We can't keep doing this.
Well, he says this is our last best chance to get our house in order. I don't think too many people would argue with that.
Exactly.
Hey, Terry, before we let you go, you every once in a while you bring up the topic of chicken money, and it's something you've been talking about for a long, long time. But for those who give us the headline on that again, chicken money is
okay.
How much money should one have as their chicken money?
Chicken money is money you cannot afford to lose. There is a brand new posting at terrysavage.com describing chicken money, describing all the alternatives for putting it away, which aren't great, and describing the reasons that you don't want to invest in anything else just because something might offer you a higher yield, just because you're angry at the low rates. So a brand new full column on chicken money at terrysavage.com. And use it to stiffen your resolve that at least you're not going to watch your money go down the drain. You're just going to have it there for an emergency. But on the other hand, over the long run, you do want to keep investing if you've got that long run opportunity to mitigate risk, because no 20-year period was a loser for the stock market with dividends reinvested.
Good advice, as always, from Terry Savage. Thank you, Terry. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely.
Market metrics and the latest headlines. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Let's get to some social media business. Scott Kleinberg writes the So Social column in the Tribune. Don't pay any attention to the weather forecast, Scott. That's just it's a fake forecast we're running.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. I was reading about this plan the government has for using social media to fight ISIS.
Yep.
And I'm thinking it's about time, because all you hear about is the propaganda machine that they have, the videos, how they use social media to recruit terrorists.
Right.
And we're not doing enough, are we?
No, we're not. And unfortunately, you would think that from this report that the government had this grand plan for fighting them, and they really don't. And their grand plan, if you want to call it one, is they think they need to get better at social media. And
duh.
Exactly. And to them, better is sharing more stuff. Now, here's the thing. Yes, sharing more stuff is important because you need to counteract the message.
But what kind of stuff? What are you talking about?
That's the key. They're saying just sharing more content to to overwhelm what they're sharing. But that's the key. They don't know what they need to share. And the fact that they don't have a plan for targeting specific types of shares, that's the problem that they are going to
have. Are you talking about the fact that ISIS uses every means possible to, like, show beheadings and burnings and all that stuff?
Exactly.
That's what you're talking about.
I am. But
how can we go up against that?
But there's also more. There's that, and then there's the fact that they target very specific people. Like, they go to blogs and they look on – ISIS does. They look on blogs and they find people who are very interested in talking about this kind of stuff, and then they target them on other social media channels. So they're finding very specific targeted ways to find these people to come join them on social media, in addition to sharing all of these photos that people – unfortunately share and people get so outraged about. So there's two factors at play.
Yeah, the way I understand it, the government is just talking about expanding an organization or making some small organization a little larger to handle some of this.
That's exactly right. Taking something small and, you know, keeping it small, but fixing their formula and their targets a little bit more. But the problem is, they say that these guys are not social media pros. They actually use the term BuzzFeed. They say these guys aren't BuzzFeed. The thing is, these guys are social media pros. You can say whatever you want about them. They totally understand how to use social media and how to use each platform and how to use them well.
The extremists.
Mm-hmm. So the government does not have that. And the fact that this person, you know, our government representative is saying that this isn't something that we need to do that crazily, we just need to counteract with a little bit more messaging, it's not going to go far enough.
Yeah, I mean, it is a good idea, and they're talking about having Muslim leaders, for example, who speak out against extremist views, having their views pushed out everywhere on social media.
Yes.
And you do have to do a better job of that than we've been doing.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't sound like this is a grand plan large enough.
Exactly. And as long as they are out there, the government, saying that these guys are not social media pros, that's going to be the problem. They need to look at them as social media pros and address them that way versus just thinking that they're limited in scope, because unfortunately they're not limited in scope.
Right. Yeah. It's
they're in denial. Right?
Yes, they're absolutely in denial.
Well, those horrific images of their mass executions, it's terrible. And the other thing that's very scary about them is you see how professionally produced they are, those videos.
Yes.
It's very scary.
And it's really scary to think that, you know, when they escalate the types of violence that they're doing, you know, when they go from beheadings to burning someone in a jail cell, there are stories out there that specifically say that these are done for social media purposes. If you were not, if you're immune to the videos of beheading because you've seen so many of them, as sad as that is to say, and then you see something so heinous, that's a whole different level for them, and they're playing right into that.
Yeah, it's a horrible situation.
It really is.
The weather is also a big news story in the Northeast, and some people are having fun with this, aren't they?
Oh, there are people in Boston. It's like they've never seen snow in Boston. And I know for a fact they have.
Just the quantity of the snow that they're having is ridiculous.
The quantity is ridiculous, but would it ever make you jump out of a window into a pile of snow? I'm guessing no.
I think I would want to do that.
You would really want to do that? Wow. Okay. I was wrong about that.
No, you wouldn't. There's no way. You don't even go outside
in
this
weather. But if I'm a kid, I would.
But these aren't kids.
These are adults.
These are adults who are Instagramming photos and videos of them jumping out second-story windows into mounds of snow.
And hopefully there's not a car under that mound.
Well, let's hope. Yeah, exactly. Because I don't know that these people are really addressing that particular situation very well, but if you go on Instagram, and you, because I know you love Instagram, Marianne, if you search Boston Blizzard Challenge, you will see a lot of videos of these people jumping out of windows, and it is really absolutely ridiculous.
Snapchat is looking to raise some money. What are they up to?
They are looking to raise another $500 million, and that would make their valuation $19 billion. And I mean, those numbers, you know, 18 billion, 19 billion, 20 billion, it's almost like pocket change after you think about it like that. But, you know, it's just, it's astronomical. And it's really amazing because in late 2013, Facebook wanted to buy Snapchat, and they offered them $3 billion. And the Snapchat guy's like, no, we're worth at least $10 billion. And everybody thought, you're absolutely insane if you think you're worth $10 billion. Well, he might not have been right about being worth $10 billion then, but he's certainly right about it now, and it's $19 billion. And, you know, Facebook purchased WhatsApp last year for – they said it would be $19 billion, but they paid $22 billion. So who knows? You know, they're willing to deal with these types of money, but obviously this is a platform that is worth a lot of money.
And those numbers just make you glaze over.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I glaze over those. I mean, I don't even know what that means. Who's going to buy them?
Yeah, well, and actually, you know, that's a really good question. And you have to wonder, you know, is that something that Facebook would be interested in even now? You know, they – $3 billion didn't work, but, you know, would they pay another $20 billion for another up-and-coming platform? It might make sense, especially the fact that Snapchat's so popular with young people.
Mm-hmm. We've all heard about product placement. We know what that's about. But what ABC and Modern Family is doing coming up next week is really something new. Explain this.
Well, the way they describe it, the entire episode is going to be done on a MacBook Pro. You're actually going to see the episode unfolding, taking place on one of the characters' laptops. And they're going to use all the different Apple programs, FaceTime, and just all the different things that you can think of, to, and social media, to create this episode that actually takes place on the MacBook Pro. The thing that's fascinating to me about Modern Family is that it was one of the first ones to really embrace Apple and all the products. And there was a whole episode devoted to waiting in line for the new iPad, and it didn't work out. And it was hilarious. All these people who previewed the episode, all these critics are saying, you know, there's no way this can possibly work. This is going to be silly. It's going to be just bad product placement. And everybody says it works. And that show is, it's a really good show, so it doesn't surprise me.
And so how annoying will it be to watch this episode, I wonder?
I think it's going to be annoying, but I think if you are somebody that likes Apple products,
Modern Family.
I think then you are going to enjoy it. And I'm the same way. I think I'm going to enjoy it. And you know what? I think there's going to be a lot of people sitting there on their iPhones, and they're going to be live tweeting the Modern Family episode where it's on a Mac, and it's going to be very, very crazy to watch, but I think it's going to be very cool.
So when is it?
February 25th, that's next week, right?
All right.
Yep.
ABC Modern Family. And finally, we've been talking about the Apple Watch.
Yep.
And they are ordering 6 million, is that right?
6 million for the first go-round for the April launch. So, you know, and a lot of these are going to be that first level one that we've heard of, that sport watch, which starts at $349. You know, there's all kinds of rumors about what the rest of the costs are going to be. They have not come out and said those yet, but everybody's pretty agreeable that the high-level tier one is going to go for thousands of dollars, several
thousands.
Okay,
that's the one that's got 18-karat gold casing?
Yes, yes, exactly.
Okay, I don't know. Who would – I don't know. I think that there's – like, you wear a watch because it's a piece of jewelry.
Yes.
Or you wear a, you know, really cool tech watch.
Yes.
But combining those two, I don't know how I feel about that.
I think it's more of a status symbol. I think
because
instead of going out and buying a Rolex, you know, now you're doing something very high tech that's different.
But then in 20 minutes, you need a new one.
But that's the thing. And that is a really good point. There are a lot of people talking. Apple is going to have to absolutely address how the product placement cycle goes, because there's no way in the world somebody is going to buy a $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 watch and replace it in 6 months. Not going to work.
Which is what we do with our phones.
Exactly.
Yes, yes, exactly.
That's why put 18-karat gold on it.
But see, the sad thing is, now that we sit here and we say this, you know, maybe in 3, 4, 5 months, we are going out and spending $4,000 again on a watch.
Yeah.
I'm not buying that model, but, you know.
Really, Marianne, jewelry that you won't be attracted to?
I don't want a $4,000 watch. I need other things first.
Relieved to hear that.
Well, I mean,
I don't want to hear about the other
one
things.
One of those,
so.
Yeah.
Thank you. Scott Kleinberg, sorry you had to witness
this. I don't need another
this.
Watch is what I mean, okay? I have a really nice watch.
I'll talk to you, Scott.
Thanks.
From time to time here on the Wintrust Business Lunch Hour, we run down things going on in and around Chicago. And lately, there's been so much going on in the way of concert activity and some theater shows that we thought, well, let's start some feature here where we can go down the list of all the things going on that aren't like the city events that our true Chicago friends come in and talk about with us here every Thursday. And you've probably seen Front Row Phyllis on TV in Chicago on Fox or on Channel 26 running down the list of things to do. She's here with us now. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, Phyllis.
Hi. Good morning. Good afternoon. I'm so used to the morning show.
Yes.
How do you, first of all, how do you keep up with everything that's going on? Because I find that I'll see a notice in the paper about a concert, and I'll realize I didn't even know this person was coming in.
Right. I know. You know what? We keep up. The good news is that's what we do. So, you know, our research team gives us the information, and we know about 3 to 6 months in advance of the different shows that are routing through Chicago, which is a great thing because then you don't have the opportunity of missing. You know, there's so many people out there that we run into saying, you know what, I didn't know that Fleetwood Mac was here last week.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, I say that all the time.
Right, yeah. Right. I actually met somebody yesterday in particular that said to me, I'm so glad you talked about Fleetwood Mac because I was able to go to the show. Right. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known.
Now, do you concentrate on music and theater?
We concentrate on upcoming concerts and events that are coming through Chicago, some of the real big ones, and then some of the big, the smaller names that are getting more traction and recognition, like a Train or, you know, I mean, when Taylor Swift was small. I mean, I don't know when that was, but anyways.
Gotcha. So, All right. Well, why don't we run down some of the highlights coming to Chicago soon?
Some of the highlights. Well, if you didn't know, last night he was here over at the Chicago Theater, and that is John Mellencamp. And that was his first night, and tonight is the second night. So if you haven't had a chance to buy tickets, tickets are still available over at Chicago Theater. He's got an amazing, amazing performance, and we're just lucky to have him, you know, Indiana native.
That's another one kind of under the radar.
Yeah.
There isn't a lot of hoopla about it ahead of time.
And this is his last show is tonight?
That is. His last show is tonight. So if you've got nothing going on and want to get out in this beautiful sunshine, warm weather,
mm-hmm.
So that's what I would do is head over to the Chicago Theater. And like I said, tickets are still available.
Right. So what else is on the list?
So what else is on the list? Let's talk about this weekend on Friday evening over at the Allstate Arena. You are going to hear the sounds of the Latin pop invasion, and that is Enrique Iglesias along with Pitbull. It's going
to
be over at the Allstate.
Marianne's been bugging me for tickets.
I am dying to get tickets for
okay.
that. For
months.
Tickets still available?
Tickets are still available, and honestly, I had to remind myself that I have to be over there, so we need to go over there.
I put it in my calendar like 3 months ago when I heard it, and I think I heard it in Miami.
Right.
And I think he was going to be here, and Bob's been trying to get tickets for that.
Well, I thought it was sold out.
No. Tickets are still available.
Well, that's why you're here, Phyllis.
Yeah, exactly. All We're going to have to make some calls after this,
yes,
right?
Yes, we are. And what else this weekend or coming soon?
So coming soon, a week from Friday, on February 27th, is Chris Brown and Trey Song will be over at the Allstate Arena as well. And they're going to be bringing their tour called Between the Sheets. So it's actually going to be a great, great show. These guys are, you know, two platinum artists performing one stage. They're going to be bringing all of the singing, the dancing, and as well as General Mayhem to the Allstate Arena. Again, that's next Friday evening.
How do you make money doing this? How do you run a business
doing this?
Yeah.
Well,
because it sounds like you've got... Like, it's just fun.
It is fun. It is fun. But it's not a bad job to have, right? Going to different concerts, talking about different shows. We also do backstage interviews with several of the artists. You know, being in the entertainment world for quite some time, that's how, and I'm friends with a lot of the big agents as well as their managers. So that's how we're able to do some of the things that most people couldn't do.
All right, and that's why you got to go on the website to get more information on Front Row Phyllis and also the complete rundown of who's coming to town.
Right.
And that's frontrowphyllis.com, is that it?
That is, frontrowphyllis.com.
And that lists everything, and that takes people to your website, and people can get tickets right from there, too?
They can, and we're also running a ticket giveaway. We do ticket giveaways, too, for some front row seats, but right now we're running it in conjunction with the Chicago Theater, and we're doing a marquee tour. So a couple tickets for the marquee tour, which is pretty cool.
Frontrowphyllis.com.
Cool.
All right. And we'll talk to you again here soon, I hope. Thanks, Phyllis.
Thank you, Phyllis.
Thank you.
market metrics, and the latest headlines. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.